Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. Today, we have a sermon titled, Not Alone, by Grant Kreger. If you would like more information on North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I don't know how you start after that. Give me a half a second to gain my composure. Man, it's been a long 9 months, year. It's been a decade of a year. And so I'm honored and glad to be here this morning to be able to speak with you guys, to work with you guys, and honestly, to give you one of the mountaintops in my journey over the past year. I first need to start, though, with, if you're sitting here really confused, I'm sorry, first. Second, if you would like to be less confused, I'm more than happy to discuss some of my journey with you. I can't go crazy into details, but I'd be happy to explain some of that with you. Not this morning, but reach out to me in some format through Maddie or PD's info at nvcmd.org. There it is. There's the plug. And I would love to meet you for coffee or breakfast or something. And as a small note, I was introduced to decaf coffee, and it's not horrible. I've been working on it. All right, so life is a work in progress. How many of you have ever seen the show Alone? All right, we're playing a little bit off the game of the show Alone. So if you haven't seen Alone, it is on Netflix, if I remember right. Yeah, I believe it's Netflix. And the show, the premise of the show is they take these people, they park them somewhere in Alaska, they kind of set them free, and they're like, okay, no one's around you, like within a long, they have like a radius they're allowed to go, but nobody's around you, survive. Game on. And so they're allowed to go with some stuff, but they're sent out to survive on their own as long as they can, all alone. And the show, we haven't watched past the first season, but I was amazed by the first, I don't know, five, six, however many episodes we've watched, of like, wow, these people are really trained and professionals in survival. I mean, like, I feel like if you put me out there, like, 2 days in, I'd make the show big, because 2 days in, I'd be, like, crying out to mommy to come save me. I'd be, like, looking at berries and stuff and be like, I don't know, I'm just going to eat everything, and if I die, so be it. I have no idea what's going on. But they bring these people out, and they're like, I'm a naturalist. Like, I've been surviving on me and nature in my pickup truck and my dog for the past 42 years. Like, I live on nature. And then they've got, like, I train classes on nature. Like, I'm a naturist person. I train classes and teach people. And then they're like, check out my household and my family. And, like, everybody's at their little farm, and they're like, this is my farm. And I'm like, whoa, that's cool. But don't put me alone in the woods. Like, not, I'm scared, right? And so the show is really interesting because they take these highly qualified people, not average Joes who wouldn't survive a minute in nature by themselves, but they take these highly qualified people, they plant them in the middle of nowhere. They're like, okay, make it to 100 days, you'll get a big payout. And man, to watch them take off, they have all of these strategies. Like, they have, everybody's got their own, I mean, in the end, it's boiled down to a couple things, but they all have their own strategies. Like, the first guy's like, I'm building my permanent shelter, right? And he goes out and he's like gathering these rocks. He builds like this Taj Mahal of a house in the middle of the wilderness with literally nothing. I'm like, how in the world did you just pull that off? Where are the concrete trucks? Where is the cement factory? This makes no sense. How do you survive like that, right? So you got big buff dude building the house. You've got like little scrawny guy, but he's like, I'm going to build a temporary shelter, and I'm going to go find food because I can't survive without eating every 5 minutes, right? And I know people like that, and I totally understand it because you don't want them to try to survive without eating every 5 minutes because it would be a scary place, right? So dude goes out, and he's focused on temporary shelter and food. And then you got, like, lady who's out there is like, forget the shelter. Like, I can sleep on the ground. I'm going to go hunt. Like, game on, I'm gathering stuff. I'm hunting for things. Like, out there, they all have these strategies. But the crazy part is, a handful of days in, you could almost pick the ones that are going to fail. And you know why? Because a handful of days in, the ones that are struggling the most are the ones that are saying, oh, man, if I was home with my family at my house, man, if I was hanging out with my wife, if I had my kids, ah, that's what's keeping me alive here. My kids are keeping me alive, right? Because they're all by themselves, 100% prepared to the best of their own ability, with themselves being king, the best they possibly can. 5 days in, they're struggling because they miss their people. 10 days in, they're calling it quits. They're like, it ain't worth it. And they're making like crazy mistakes. Like, oh yeah, I just straight up ate that leaf that's poisonous. Like, oh, I feel terrible. Like, well, yeah, didn't they teach you not to eat poisonous stuff in your nature classes? Like, I know not to do that, and I'm not nature man. Like, what in the world? But what's going on is they're struggling because they're alone. They have all the knowledge in the world. They have all the brain strength, all of the skills, the know-how. But on an island, by themselves, with grizzly bears, oh yeah, I forgot to add that. It's like grizzly bear kingdom. They're just like out there walking around, like it's like, oh, yo, what up, grizzly? And they're like, hey, how's it going? Like, that's pretty much how it works. And so it's just amazing. They're out on their own. They got a can of bear mace. They're ready to survive. They prepped. They brought their things. They planned it out. They have a plan. And everything falls apart because they start forget or they start to realize they're alone. They're by themselves. They can't handle the grizzly bear by themselves. If they had a couple buddies, they'd be set. They can't handle picking all the food by them. They can't handle hunting alone with literally next to nothing to bait. I mean, like, I can hunt, but you got to bait them. You know, like, what in the world? They can't do it. They can't do it. And it's not the challenge in front of them that they can't handle. It's the fact that their brain and their life is so upside down because they're trying to do it on their own that they fail. And the people that make it, I have no idea how they survive because they struggle the whole way from start to finish, and they leave an entirely different zombie than the person they started as. It is a wild show. I'm not making any money off Alone or Netflix. I would love to. That'd be cool. But it's an interesting series when you're looking at the show through the perspective of what is life like when you live completely alone. And so the show, of course, is like a, you know, it was as I sat with PD, and he's like, okay, Grant, what do you want to speak about? And I'm like, oh, crap, Dan, I don't know. There's so many things. And so I started at work and all my other time, I kept a notebook, and I think I have like 40 different hot, like one-liners, like, oh, this would be cool to talk. Oh, all that. Oh, this. Oh, that. And the more I got through it, the more I was like, oh, fudge. I think the underlying theme in all of this stuff is you can't do it by yourself. You can't. You can't rely on your own power to make it. You just can't. You can't rely on your own and a friend nearby that knows this much of what's going on in your life, that you just carefully feed them little bits of pieces of what's going on and they just give you a pat on the back. That's not going to cut it. You can't do it. And so I stumbled across this. Then I was like, oh, I remember that show. And then I was like, whoa, no wonder they all fail. Like, no wonder it was so difficult. They're doing it by themselves. And then, of course, my mind, as I'm prepping for a message, automatically goes like, holy crap, that's been me. That's been me 35 years of life. I grew up in the church. My testimony through church was always like, yeah, I was born in it. I mean, mom's a pastor. Dad was on the worship team. Like, more or less, the pastor lived at our house. Hung out with church people and my cousins who went to church with me. Like, that was my family. Those were my people. Yeah. Hey, Grant, who's your best five friends that you've ever had? I know a lot of people. I hung out with a lot of people at church, right? Like, I had a lot of... There's people that knew me. No, there weren't any of the best friends. All right. And the kids are like, Daddy, who's your best friend? I'm like, oh, your mom. Because she was the sorry sucker that found me. No. I'm like, that's a solid question. And then going through this, I'm like, holy cow, there's a problem in all that, right? When you don't have somebody close. And so I grew up with my testimony being like, you know, I lived in the church. Like, I was born a Christian. I followed Jesus. I was baptized when I was like 12 or 13. Cakewalk. I'm like, come on, people, why are you struggling so hard? And then I look around at people that are like, whoa, like life completely upside down, world completely flipped upside down. All over the place, all kinds of different testimonies. And I'm like, whoa, what would that be like? Like, man, I got Easy Street over here. And they're struggling, and like they had to struggle to get to where they were. And unbeknownst to me, My testimony may have started when I was 13, but it wasn't until I was 34, 33, somewhere around there, that I found my testimony. It's been a wild journey. But I'm here to talk about how important it is for us not to try to do it by ourselves. And so I recognize that a lot of people, a lot of you, I know quite a few of you, I know a lot of your stories and your backgrounds. I recognize that a lot of people walk through life and they hit a wall. And in that wall hit and in the lowest part of their life, they find that they can't do it on their own. They reach back out to family, they find their community, they find friends, they find a church, they get plugged in. And it's through church and their community and their group of people, through their support and their awakening, that they literally tried to do it by themselves. Idolatry, like I idled myself, I was God in my life. It took that completely falling apart in order for them to recognize, oh crud, I can't do this by myself. What was I thinking? I can't survive on my own like this. And so they lived their lives like just broken and tired and lonely and worn out and just beat over and over and over again. And we're in need of some serious help. And maybe that's your story. Maybe that's where you came from. And man, like, I remember sitting and like, wow, like that's a testimony. My testimony's weak, right? I remember sitting, but I can tell you that even if that's not your testimony right now, a life on an island by yourself is going to result in a testimony where you are at the bottom, where you are struggling to find God again, where you have to be reconciled with Him, where you have to find intimate, close friends. Friends that are of same gender, friends that are of different gender, right? But ultimately, you have to find those people around you and rebuild your life with the right focus on God and with the right support and accountability. Looking at the journey of people like that, looking at the journey and the explanations through the Bible, looking at what Jesus said and how Jesus spoke, looking at some of Paul's teachings and some of the different teachings in the Bible, James, I quickly saw in a really short period of time, quickly saw that I couldn't handle this by myself, and that there was a kind of a pattern, a pretty consistent pattern, of people becoming re-reconciled with God, of finding God, understanding that they're no longer alone, walking alongside with God, building and working together, and rebuilding their life focused on Him, the one that created them. And it went through this really interesting, consistent process that just so happens to have a tie to which how North Valley strategy works as well. Oh, go figure, a church with a similar strategy. Hey, shout out to the people that came up with that, right? But it's a really consistent pattern that works. That works, but you know what it starts with? Healing. It starts with healing. So why in the world would we need to be healed? Why in the world would we need to be healed? It starts with healing. It's equipping. Wow, they look really small up there. Oh, they look huge on my slide. And then being commissioned. So healed, being equipped, being commissioned. And so that process of healing kickstarts a lot of our journeys with Christ. And it oftentimes finds itself back in healing because of the sinful world we live in, because of the death, because of the struggle, because of the trial and temptations and failures. And I stand here today, I'll even preface it, like I'll start with this. You and I don't need to be perfect. I am not perfect. Far from it. It has been a long journey with PD, walking through from all the way back to zero to today and just pulling apart all of the stuff where I'm like, man, I don't understand this. I don't understand how that works. I don't understand how this works. And just completely separating and looking at my life and where I came from, and where it started, and where it ended, and where I was today. It took that at age 35. I would have told you a year and a half ago that I'm on the commission phase. Like, I'm ready to roll. I'm smart. I know how to do this. I've figured it out. I've read a lot of the Bible. I've got this figured out. It's commission time. Unbeknownst to me, no. It wasn't commission time. It was time to go back to healing. It was time to go back to healing because I was on an island by myself. I was doing it alone. And it doesn't work. And so this process, although it looks like a linear process, being healed, being equipped, being commissioned, it's cyclical. It works in a circle. Sometimes you go from healed to equipped and then right back to healing because something happens, because something shakes your world, something you missed, something you weren't paying attention to, some sort of temptation that showed up, some sort of trial, right, that you were put in and through and just didn't shake out. And sometimes you fall right back to being in the healing. And the trick to the whole thing is you cannot do any of it, not even one piece, by yourself. It all requires God. And it all requires good support. And so healing, what's healing look like? How's that work? In Matthew, man, still tiny. I'll get it better, guys. It's been a while. In Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, a verse I'm sure a lot of you heard before. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary," this is Jesus talking, "and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Do you think that would be said if there weren't weary and burdened people? Absolutely not. Do you think there were people in the audience like, that must be for that dude over there and that girl over there and maybe somebody else who showed up in this audience for the first time? He was walking around out here and struggling. That's probably for them. I guarantee you there were people in there thinking that. Guarantee you. But do you know who he was speaking to? All of us. Jesus was speaking to all of us. You know why? Because we find ourselves being weary and burdened in life. And if you don't come to him, you stand on an island by yourself, you're destined to fail. You're destined to fall apart. And it's in God's grace and his truth through his word that we go back to him and we gain the rest that we need. See, healing doesn't start with us. Healing doesn't start with like, oh, I messed up. Oh, man, like I lost that person that mattered so much to me. It doesn't start there with just you and your thoughts. It starts with God. It starts by going back to God and saying, God, I know you'll give me rest. I'm struggling. This junk's upside down. My life's in pieces. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. But I know you're there. And I know you're waiting on me. And I know you have those words. I know you gave me those words. And Psalm, which is another cool message. I learned a lot about David. I learned a lot about David over the past year. In Psalm, in what some of David's writing, he says, "In my distress, I called to you, Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry became before him into his ears." And in verse 17, it says, "He rescued me from my powerful enemy. He rescued me because he delighted in me." All the verses in between that are a beautiful picture of how God was working to step forward to help David out in his struggle, to fight through. But what did it start with? Ben, James, or Cindy, if you don't mind rolling back one. What it start with? Start with a call to God. It started with crying out for help. And I'm not. That's not like, oh, God, please help me. That is like crying, crying, on your knees, crying. And what's he do? He heard it. He dropped everything, right? The cry came to his ears. He dropped it. He stepped in. And he helped his people. He helped David. He helped Grant. He helps all of us, right? But it requires us to reach out to that individual. Because if you put yourself in the God seat and you cry to yourself, you can't survive and help yourself. It's never going to work. It's never going to work. In that show alone, there was a girl I distinctly remember. She was fighting to try to find food. And she's like, man, I've got to do this. And I cannot remember her name, but I remember what she looks like. I cannot got to do this. I can do this. I know how to find this. And she relied solely, because she had nothing else, on herself. Think she found the food she was looking for? No, she ended up resulting in eating like junk out of the dirt and some random little pieces of roots and bugs and everything else she could find because she had to do it on her own. See, in my life, in a lot of yours' lives, if it's mild and I can survive on it, on myself, my tire's flat. Okay, I can change my tire. No big deal. Man, I'm the man. Roll on. Right? No big deal. Oh, you know, so-and-so's getting sick. Like, oh, that's a bummer. Like, okay, but I'm still okay. I rely on myself. Move on. Right? If I can muscle through on my own, I'll make it this far, and there'll become a place where I hit a wall so hard, I don't even know what happened. And at that point, you can't save yourself. It doesn't work. David cried out to God. He cried out to God. God hit the brakes, dropped the world. Not entirely dropped the world, but dropped everything. Came to David and helped out. He took care of the powerful enemy that had David by the neck. And why did he do it? He did it because he delighted in him. He delighted in us. A lot of times, healing comes with friends. So, number one, it's got to come with God. We can't handle this by ourselves. We struggle in so many things out in the open and dark, hidden in a closet, back in the back, underneath of a bunch of books. We struggle with stuff so much all the time and smile to all the people around us. We come in here on a Sunday morning, we shake hands. How you doing, Grant? Oh, I'm great, man. How are you? Good. Hey, PD, meet with him every Thursday. How you doing, PD? How you doing, Grant? Oh, Canyon's terrible. Don't talk about how I'm feeling. You don't want to know that. But Canyon's horrible. You know, the place I work for is not so great. My work's terrible. It's hard to work. The people are mean. You know, construction's terrible. You know, the building fell down. Buildings have never fallen down in my look. All right? But, you know, whatever. There's a circumstance that I'm happy to share with you so that you can go, oh, man, that's terrible. But I'm not going to share the stuff that actually resides inside of me because I'm worried that if I give it to you, you're going to be like, yo, what happened? It's like, whoa, you're not who I thought you were going to be. And I'm worried that if I give it to God, God sees me and he's like, oh my gosh, what are you thinking, right? But God doesn't work like that. David just said to us, I cried to the Lord and the Lord dropped everything, came to my rescue, helped me because why? He delighted in me. There's a lot of things in our lives while we're healing or need to be in a process of healing, that we stuff away. We need to bring that out to God. We need to allow God to see, he already sees it, but see that we're giving it to him. We need to cry for him, cry to him for help. But there's a second piece of this that I feel like super critical. We also need good, solid support. We need people around us that know what's going on, that know what we struggle with. We need a group of guys or ladies that know, hey, life at home is hard right now. Hey, this person's sick in my life and they matter so much to me. Hey, this job matters so much to me and it's falling to pieces. We need those people that can stand alongside us and go, hey, I struggle with this thing and I'm about to go to this place where this thing's going to be there. And they're going to be like, whoa, okay, two things. One, let me help you with some accountability. Second off, like, let's rethink this together because they give a different perspective. But those people that know about your life are critical in your healing process, are critical in your walk, your everyday walk in life. And so, although God is number one, he will always be number one, it's also super important to have just a couple people. Jesus had three. PD pointed that out to me this week. Jesus had three intimate male friend relationships. Three. If Jesus could handle only. If Jesus handled three, how many do you think you and I should handle? No more than three. And they best be deep, right? Because if Jesus needed it, we need it. So we need to find those people in our lives. We need to cling to them. We need to support each other. So maybe today in the healing world, you're going through a healing process. You need to have God number one, and you need to have two buddies alongside of you to help you out, to keep you in the straight path, to keep their hands on your back. There's nothing scarier than a team of people coming after something, right? Do it on yourself. Do it by yourself. Nah, one person can be knocked down pretty easy, right? But three, four, not so much. So healing's important, but also the second piece of the healing process is that it requires multiple people. And that maybe you're not in the healing process right now. Maybe you're in equipping or commissioning, and we're about to get there. And I apologize if I run long today, but I have lots of words. I just looked up and was like, wow, look at the time. Right? But don't worry, it won't take forever. I'll be fast. It requires us to be able to stand with each other. So you might be the one in the healing process who needs help, needs somebody to walk alongside of them, but you also might be the one in a different place. Maybe you're out commissioned, you're taking care of what God called you to do, or you're still growing and learning and being equipped to do what God called you to do. Maybe you're in those other two places, but you need to be a good support to the healing person. We need to be seeking relationships with each other. We need to be trying our best to just know what's going on, find our close few, and support each other in small groups. We need to be here in bigger numbers, learning together, and we need to be working towards being equipped and working towards commissioning, going out and doing what God called us to do. So healing, huge, important. So as we heal, Christians are given a distinct role of equipping, of being equipped yourself and to help each other be equipped. One of my favorite things to do is to like teach people things that I know, because I've learned over my time of growing up that I had parents and grandfathers and aunts and uncles that had lots of skills, that learned lots of things and taught me to not be afraid of stuff. Like, don't be afraid of a chicken. Like, you can process a chicken by yourself. Okay, all right, sure. Don't be afraid of a car. Cars break down. You can put them back together. It's not a big deal. Oh, okay, don't be afraid of a lawnmower, right? And so I grew up in that kind of a life, but not everybody learned how to do all of these things. And so me being a person who knows these can, and it's one of my favorite things to do, can take what I know and help other people to be able to learn, right? It works the same with God, well, walk with God, with your faith, with how to handle difficult situations. And we are equipped by God to do these things, but we're also equipped by each other and through the church to be able to tackle these items, different things in life, different struggles in life, different temptations and trials, different failures, different, like, just difficult relationships. We know we live in a world of difficult relationships, right? All of those things we learn and can help each other experience and learn from. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, testing my eyes, verses 24 to 25. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. A cool set of verses. You know how many times I've read through Hebrews and just completely glazed over that, not giving up meeting together? You know the first thing we do when stuff gets tough? Not everybody. But naturally, we pull back. We pull back. We're like, oh man, things are getting really difficult. I'm going to try to, you know, like, just cut the limb off and just take care of the core of my body. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like, I don't know, I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but, you know, that kind of idea of, like, tourniquet. Like, I got a wound. I got to tourniquet this thing so I don't, you know, lose. So I don't bleed out, right? I got to check my audience. So I don't bleed out, right? And so, you know, that's our first reaction. It's like, peel back, right? But what's the key? There's lots of important pieces, but one of the key couple verses in there, pieces of that verse in there, is that as some are in the habit of doing, encouraging one another, like, don't give up meeting. Stay together. Stay plugged in. Why is that important? Because when you're alone, things fall apart. But when you're plugged in a group, working with your people, you don't fall apart because you have support. You have God backing you up, and you've got friends pointing you to God and saying, back you up. And if your friends aren't pointing to God and saying, yo, you need to be reaching out to that guy, time to find new friends, because those are the friends you need. You don't need friends focusing on the world. That junk's just going to make you fall apart worse. Right? But they should be pointing to God and saying, you need to get in here. You need to get into this small group. You need to meet up with me. We need to catch up twice a week. We need to figure this stuff out. Call me, text me. Let's figure this out, right? We need those people in our lives. We need personal study. We need time by ourselves. We need large numbers of people, which is gathering on a Sunday morning. We need small numbers of people. I encourage you to join a group. We've got a really killer men and women group going at the same time right now with childcare, which has been cool because it's a Tuesday night where you both get to work through the same book of the Bible, which happens to be James, and you're going to hear, that's the next verse. You're going to hear one of the verses in James and be like, oh man, you should imagine a guy like me sitting through this book of James right now working with the rest of these guys. But these dudes are awesome. They're supportive. They're amazing. They point to these things, but James is a good punch in the face, and it's a killer book of the Bible to be walking through with the women, your significant others, your friends, and the men at the same time, and giving you an opportunity to discuss this. And so we need plugged in small numbers. We need plugged in big numbers. We need plugged in personal study, and we need plugged in serving. How many of you learn with your hands, right? I can read all day long, but until I go out and do something with it, like, it ain't no help. Like, I read all the books and watched all the videos of how to butcher chickens, but until I went out and tried it, I have no idea what I was doing, right? Oh, okay, that's what they meant. Oh, that's how that works, right? All of those things a lot of us learn, they come through exercise. We need to get out. We need to be moving and learning and growing and being equipped together. In the book of James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show you by their good deeds, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. I learned a huge piece from James just over the past handful of weeks that I've known, that I've recognized over the past year. But every time I read it, I'm like, "Gah!" There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is like, I know how to do all that because I've read it in a book, but never tried it in my life. Wisdom is, I learned what I did, and I'm exercising it, right? I'm going out, and I'm working with what I've learned. I can have all the knowledge in the world, but until I go out and act on it, I'm dumb. It doesn't work. You're out on an island by yourself until you're out there equipping it with those around you and with God. And so in James, we learn that the wise are showing it by their good life, by the deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom, by going out and doing the things we've learned and remaining humble inside. The next piece is commissioning. Yeah, you're welcome. That's because I knew I was going to talk for a long time, and just so you didn't feel like sticking a slide up there forever, but it's fine. Commissioning. What's commissioning? Commissioning is like, hey, we're going to send you off. You're going to take off to go take care of something that you have been trained to do. It is time to go. It is time to act. It is time to use the skills that you've been equipped with to go function and do what you were called to do. Coolest thing about commissioning is that there's a call for all of us. They call it the Great Commission in the Bible. How many times have people heard the Great Commission, right? We are all called to go make disciples. We are all called to go out and make disciples, baptizing them, right? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? We are called to go out. That is for everybody. But that's not your call. Each and every one of us have something entirely different, with a different tweak, with a different look, with a different pair of glasses than the guy sitting next to you, right? Entirely different calling that you individually are called to do. There is something God has set you up. You have walked through experiences. You have learned and been equipped in ways that other people have not, that God's calling you individually to take care of. And so after we've gone through a process of healing, and sometimes that process continues for a long time while you're being equipped, sometimes you are equipped through the healing, sometimes. And as you go through being equipped, as you learn and grow together and develop together, we learn over time that God has a specific call for us, that He set us up to learn things, to do things different than somebody else, than everybody else, and to go out and work in a way that nobody else could do, to go out and meet people in a way that nobody else can do, to go out and help people in a way that nobody else has a heart for like you do. And so we need to recognize that call. We need to recognize that call, and we need to take a step forward and take off and do it. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I laid down in all the churches." Paul's like, guys, you should be living in the situation. We shouldn't be just pouting and like dragging our feet and just struggling through whatever God's called us to do. Like, we should be going out and taking care of whatever God calls us to do in the place that we're at, in our workplace, right? Out in the park when you're walking the park, in the restaurant when you're sitting in there with your wild kids, right? Maybe not all of you have wild kids, but I know a lot of you do. Right? Maybe while you're mowing grass with your headphones on, we should be attacking the world that is around us the way God called us to do. Sometimes it's as simple as just helping somebody with skills that God's equipped you to do. Sometimes it's as wild as a call to be a pastor one day and you drag your feet for eternity because you're like, nah, I don't know about all that, right? And then you're like, oh, okay. And then you mess up and then you're like, oh, no, there it goes. And then God's like, no. This is just another step. You're going to figure it out now. Now it's time to go. Oh, okay. Right? But maybe it's a matter of taking those steps to do it. But it doesn't come without healing, and it doesn't come without equipping, and it doesn't come with perfection. Even some wild statistics I've learned about pastors, even pastors struggle in mass numbers in a variety of topics. You know why? Because they're people. They're people. You all know me. I'm no different than anybody here. You hang out with PD for 5 seconds and you see how much the dude loves chocolate. He's obviously an average human, right? Other than me, I like the fruity stuff, but it's cool. And coffee, right? You learn hanging out with other people and other pastors that they struggle with a lot of the same and similar things. God has just called them to do something different. And so we need to seek out what God's calling us to do. If you haven't taken the SHAPE assessment, I'd suggest doing it. If you're like, what in the world is a SHAPE assessment? Send an email to info@nvcmd.org. Hi-cha. And PD or somebody of the sort will happily share it with you. It's an assessment. It walks through some of your internal desires, things you've been equipped to do, some of your heart. It goes through some different pieces of a personality assessment to help you to better figure out who you are and how you can get plugged in and how you can continue to work to find your calling. Another great place to learn what your calling is and find and exercise and practice your skills is in the church, serving in the church. If you're like, man, it'd be cool to go out and like help people every once in a while. I like to help people. Sign up for a missions trip. Go give it a run. Reach out to somebody around here. I'm sure they would love for you to help with maintenance if you like to work with your hands. If it's like, man, I have a background in helping and keeping places safe. I have a safety consulting background. Reach out. I'm sure we will gladly take some help with safety consulting. If you have the background of loving to play with technology and you like the sounds of music, you may not be the best singer, but you know what music's supposed to sound like. Ben James would love people back behind that board pressing buttons and spinning knobs and stuff, and he would gladly help equip you to do that. Woo! There it is. If you like electronics, a good place, right? Getting out and exercising the things you've learned, you've experienced through your life, the things you have passions for, the things you love deep down inside, want to help people with, getting out and exercising them, a church is an amazing playground for trying lots of things. You quickly find out, like, man, there's wild children downstairs. I like kids. I have kids. I don't want to work with kids, right? Or maybe it's like the opposite, like, I love kids. Oh, woo. Yeah, crazy, but it works, right? You learn a lot of things through the church. It is a safe place to exercise your serving, and it's also an amazing way to connect with God in a way you've never had before. So, what's that look like for us today? Oh, I will gladly invite the band up. There was this big, long joke about how Grant never invites the band up, so I'm doing that. So today, we all live in wild journeys, and they take you places you never thought. You learn a lot of stuff about yourself that you never thought you would. You find friends that support you in ways that you never expected. You develop new relationships. It opens your eyes, but it doesn't come without difficulty. So sometimes, a lot of times, oh, yeah, and our mission and our strategy happen to align with everything I've talked about today. Shout out to NBC and the people that put those together. Empowering people with the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. And we do that by helping people walk through a process of healing, equipping, and commissioning. And I will be one of the many people to say, PD and the team here, Mary and Jim, and a lot of the rest of you are really good at helping people with healing, helping people with equipping, and I'm excited to see what the future looks like in commissioning. But I can tell you that the strategy works. That with God's help and with some friends close by, that NVC is full of amazing people. You can change things. You can see world in a different way. You can walk in a different life. And it doesn't just help you, but it helps your friends. We help each other. It helps your family. It helps your wife and your relationship. It changes your life. And so today, you know, it's easy to sit. I did it a bajillion times over the past 35 years and listen to this and go like, okay, I'm in the whatever phase, like the cakework. Or like, you know what, I'm healing right now, but I'm feeling pretty good. We're moving in the right path. Or like, you know what, like this whole God thing I'm new to and I'm not entirely sure if I buy into all this and I don't even know how to start, right? It's easy to sit back and go, I think I'm okay. I appreciate your talk this morning, Grant. I see that you're kind of crazy, but I'm okay. What I encourage you to do is to go watch the show Alone. Put yourself on that island out there by yourself, surrounded by wild beasts and animals for a long period of time with no support, with no help. And a lot of us are living that life today. That's where a lot of us live. And that's a scary place. And it never ends well. It always ends in trouble. And they're always looking for a way out. So today, are you looking for a way out? Do you need to take a step towards God and grab some close friends and walk a journey that you've never walked before in reconciliation and separating your ways, you'll still be tempted. It'll still be hard. There will still be trials. But it's a new life, a new walk, a journey of joy instead of just loss. It's just a struggle. Today, is that you? Today, for those that maybe that isn't you that's walking through or needing to step into this healing process, maybe you're in the equipping phase. Are you exercising your time together with the church in community? Are we spending time in small numbers and big numbers? Are we spending time serving and growing and exercising what God's given us to do, our talents, our experiences? Are we using those for his kingdom so we can sharpen them? Are we listening for the call of God? Are we seeking his call? Are we asking him? Are we crying out to him, Father, show me what you want me to do because I want to do it. If that's you today, I suggest you start doing that. A crazy prayer like that will wake up everything real fast sometimes. No, not sometimes, all the time. God listens to prayers. You pray a wild prayer, he'll be like, okay, that's what you want, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, all right, let's walk this path. You want your life straightened up? All right, here we go. Sometimes it requires breaking down and a big mess, but we're going to get there, right? You need a person to step into your life that's going to help you be accountable. Keep your eyes open, and when they come in, you better be ready to embrace them because it'll shift things. You'll be ready. And so I suggest that you get plugged in, you start seeking God's call in your life, and then you go out and start working it. Reach out to PD, reach out to somebody here. Like, I want to start working on this. I want to start sharpening this. I think God's calling me to work this direction. I know Dan would personally love to partner with anybody who's interested and excited about being commissioned. They feel like they have a call. Dan's got a heart for helping people get there and go. And maybe you're like, I'm not exactly sure where I'm at in any of these seasons. Maybe it's like, I'm not even sure where I'm at on this whole book. Or maybe it's like, I've got all this figured out and I'm working down that path. The people that are working the path, and you're working with God, and you have those close friendships, we need to make sure that we're a place that allows people like who need healing to be open, to be honest. We need to be humble. We need to be accepting. We need to work together to be an open place where somebody can walk in broken and know that they can find support, know that they will be pointed to God. And we need to encourage each other to be like that. Because I want North Valley, and I know Dan does, to be an amazing place, a light on the hill that we're on, a place that people can walk in and say, like, hey, I'm the biggest bigwig in Frederick, but I've got some big problems. And we can go, hey, we don't care what you do in Frederick. Let's walk through your problems, right? We need to be that place. So let me pray for you and for myself and for all of us as we work down this process, as we work in being healed and equipped and commissioned to follow God's call in our lives. Father, we just thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for the journey that you've placed us on. Father, we thank you for the difficult things in our lives that break us down, that flip things upside down, because we know you use them. We know you use them for good. We don't see it in the moment, Father, but we see it. We know it works, and we can see it today. Father, I pray for the relationships, that we dig in, we find those couple people. We share, we open our hearts to them. We support each other. We help in ways that point to you. We help in ways that point to tighter community, Father. And we're open and encouraging and excited for those who come in who need that same relationship, who need that same healing. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We praise you for what you're doing in our lives and for in the church of North Valley, Father, in the churches all around us. Just thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.